Good morning and Merry Christmas. Have a seat. I didn't go cycling on Christmas Day, Grant. And probably in the grand scheme of things, ate too much. Great to see you here. It's wonderful to have you in the house this morning. I know it's a time of year where people are doing all sorts of different things, but you are the people that are here. So thank you for choosing to be in church and gather as a family on what will be our last Sunday for this year. So really, really glad that you can be here. Just as we think about finishing a year, what sort of attitude do you finish a year with? I mean, the last 2 years, I think, you know, at the end of the year, we thought, oh, I remember at the end of 2020, we're thinking, oh, I'm glad we got that behind us. Let's just believe that we're going back to what we thought might be a new normal and getting on with things. And then what, 2021 was sort of more and more of the same. And for our friends that join us from Victoria and lots of other places in the world, we had it so much easier here in Tassie, so we can be thankful for that. But we've had more of the same. How do we finish a season so that we start another season well? And my mind goes to the fact that Jesus, when he went into a season of trials and temptation, he didn't just land there by accident. He didn't just end up in the wilderness because he didn't have anything better to do. We read that he was actually led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and then he went through that season of tempting and refining, and then we're told that the Holy Spirit led him out of the wilderness into a season of power and authority where he commenced his ministry. And sometimes we find ourselves in seasons, and you know, sometimes they're our own doing, sometimes they just happen, and sometimes God's taking us through things. But I think what I want to encourage us with is if we're allowing God to lead us, if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in seasons and out of seasons, well, we approach them with much more of a sense of His purpose, and then we actually are better positioned to start the next season. How do we finish this year? And I want to read you something that I think is really important. And maybe every day we should read this particular verse. It says, this is in Lamentations 3, it says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends." Who's had that day where you think, wow, maybe I've just got to the end of God's mercies? Maybe I've fouled up enough that His mercy's not going to cover this mess that I've got myself into. But it never ends. It's limitless. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in Him. What a great way to finish a season or a year and be ready to go into the next one, full of the Holy Spirit, full of His power, full of His authority. I've also noticed I did two weddings or had the privilege of officiating at two weddings sort of over the weekend, and they're all here. Daniel and Eunice, welcome. Great to have you in church. Been married now. If you need some marriage advice, these guys have been married for, what is it? A week and a day. Wow, they're veterans. Well done. A great big welcome. They had a beautiful wedding down in the Glebe, in these amazing gardens there, and the sun was shining, and it was absolutely fabulous. And then we went up to Coles Bay, and where would you get married in Coles Bay but Honeymoon Bay? So Calvin and Liz in Honeymoon Bay, and we battled the elements a bit there. We had a northwest wind just blowing up the beach. But anyway, thankfully, I've got a big voice, and it was absolutely beautiful. So welcome to family and friends and everybody that's here this morning. So really wonderful to have you with us. So we're really pleased to see you here with us this morning. But the mercies of God being new all the time, and we've had a bit of a theme talking about His real love, and I want to talk about the fact that real love actually speaks. What does God's love say through us? How do we prepare for another year and another season that's ahead? And there's no doubt we know that we're living in different times. We know that we're living with this sort of uncertainty around things, and we're all believing that we'll be back to a new version of normal, whatever that is, but we don't know when that is. But one thing we do know is that the power and the love of God is not diminished through any season. And what type of life would God want you to live? What are you actually going to live through these seasons that are ahead of us? And I want to encourage you that real life actually speaks. You see, we're told that the world, that all of creation came into existence, again, not by accident, not by just a whole lot of things sort of happening and lining up. Well, a whole lot of things did happen and line up, but they happened and lined up after a God spoke. After the God creator of the universe spoke, and He spoke the world into being, He spoke humanity into being, He spoke all of creation into being. And I believe that when we've got the power of God, when we've got the DNA of God Himself, there is something about our voice that actually defines the type of future that we go into and we live. And I believe that real love speaks. What type of life would God have you live? Would it be a sensible life? Dale? A responsible life? Dale? A careful life? A boring life? Dale. Here's one for you, Dale. The quintessential, for those that go back a few years, the quintessential Ned Flanders Christian life. You know, what is it? What is it that God would actually have us live? What is the sort of life that a God who spoke the world into being, a God who is actually, His mercies, His love never ends, a God who would actually bankrupt heaven so that we can actually live the life that He wants us to live? And Jesus Himself said, the thief comes, this is John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they, you, may have life and have it abundantly. See, He wants you, real love, wants you to have an abundant life. Living in abundance, we want you, God wants you to be living well. Abundance in families, abundance in work, finance, health, etc. But so often that's not our experience, is it? And who knows that life isn't a peaches and cream type of life? Who's had a financial challenge? Who's had a health challenge? Who's had a relationship challenge? But I believe you can have an abundant future. And an abundant future is much more than having stuff. Interesting, over Christmas, our youngest little man had a bit of a reality check. His communication to Santa was, if Santa can bring things, if he just brought me lots of money. And he came up with a figure with lots and lots of zeros on it. Well, then I can actually get whatever I want, whatever I need. And he said, you know, it's all right, Dad, I can get myself a Bugatti. And you can have a mere Mustang. And we sort of had to explain that, well, Santa doesn't actually give money, you know. He actually understands what you need and what's good for you at a certain time, and that's what he does. And Jesus certainly isn't Santa Claus. And he didn't just come to give us stuff, but what he did come, he says, I came that they could have life, that you could have life, and he could have it to the fullest. So how do we speak? How do we frame this year that's ahead of us in light of a God who loves us with everything? And I've preached about this so many times, but I just felt that it was apt as we frame a year that's ahead of us. I believe that as a church, as you know, we've been through a lot of change. We've had a location change. We've had a lot of people shift around, and in many ways we've actually almost planted a new church in a new location. And there is so much opportunity ahead of us. And how do we frame that? What are the words that we speak? And Ezekiel 37. And if you've got your Bibles, have a look at that. Many of you will know it well. But it says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away." Who's been carried away? Not a lot like that. "And I was carried away There it is. All right, here we go. "I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord, and he led me to the valley of dry bones. He led me around among those bones that covered the valley floor." Perhaps you've been there. Who feels like they've been in that place? You know, stuff around you just feels like it's, you know, you hear someone like me saying, oh, Jesus said that we've been called to live this abundant life, and you look around you and you feel like, oh, there are dry bones everywhere. Stuff feels like dry. Feels hard. Feels like, oh wow. And he's walking amongst the remnant of something that was once great. Something that should have been about life and vitality. And all he's looking at is the remains. And perhaps you think about the remains of a career, the remains of a relationship, the remains of something that was really significant to you. And it says they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. So believe it or not, I'll use the kids' example again, that the bones are a bit more flexible than sometimes we think. I know we've got a few doctors in the house this morning. But bones, particularly with kids can jump off things and do all sorts of things, and thankfully their bones actually bend a little bit before they break. But who's come across something, you know, in particularly here where we live, you know, you go bushwalking and you come across, you know, a skeleton or something like that. You come across a wallaby that came to an unfortunate end, and it's been there for years. And you know, I've done that too. And as we've done that, we've been walking with the kids, and they'll, oh yeah, there's, and they pick up some of the bones, or they pick up this, you know, this skull of this poor little hoppy creature. And when you look at them, that if you drop it or if you push it, it's dry and it's brittle and it breaks. But if we dry out spiritually, we become brittle. And we become delicate. And who's been in that place where it's like, oh, you know, there were a time, you know, you're walking around and you're doing life and people could sort of say nearly anything and it's like, oh yeah, whatever, it's all good. And other times you're delicate and it's like, oh, gee, if someone looks at me the wrong way, I'm gonna cry. See, a dry environment has the crunchy remains of an old structure. And that can be, you know, a family, a school, a workplace, a relationship, or even a church. Listen to verse 3. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." And you can hear, this is the prophet Ezekiel, and his faith isn't strong, and he hasn't found his voice. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message. Say to these bones, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh on your muscles. I'll put flesh on your muscles and on you, cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you'll come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And so he hears the word of the Lord and he knows God's will and he understands that God doesn't want to leave these bones that were once a mighty army as a memorial to the past. Just like he doesn't want to leave you and parts of our life. I think sometimes we actually want to surrender stuff and say, "Oh, yeah, that was then, but we'll just get by." And suddenly we look at what was glory days or something. "Oh, yeah, there's a memorial to the past." And we just think that can't happen again. You see, he's the God of mercies that are new every morning. And it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've walked through, he has actually got more for you ahead of you than what's behind you. And you know, you might see a memorial to the past, but that's the past. His future is bigger and brighter than anything you imagine. And it doesn't mean that there's going to be no problems. It doesn't mean that you're not going to walk through challenges. But you know, hope in the Lord means there is always more ahead of us than what's behind us. You know, and he understands that God doesn't want to leave these bones in this place. And it's the prophetic word, the speaking into the environment that stands between this once great army and its future. What do you think that is standing between you? What's standing between us? What's standing between kingdom people here in Tasmania and beyond? What's standing between us and some great things that it might have been in the past and the future that God wants? Verse 7, so he says, "So I spoke the message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a great rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came and they together and they attached themselves, complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh form over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them." So as you can hear, as he starts to speak, confidence is building. And when you actually start to speak the promises of God, when you actually start to speak the word of the Lord, when you start to speak the things that he is asking you to say, whether that's to yourself, whether that's to your family, whether that's in some sort of declaration, whether that's just in your thinking, when you start to speak those words, a confidence and a hope in him actually builds. "Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bodies, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and they stood to their feet, a great army." See, it's the prophetic word he is speaking into the environment that stands between the past and an abundant future. See, what are we speaking into our environment? So if I'm honest, I was thinking, you know, yesterday or whenever it was, flipping heck, we're going to church and we've got to wear masks, and, you know, it's not such a big deal, is it? But, you know, you're thinking all this stuff, and then you're thinking, oh, it's Boxing Day, and lots of people won't be there, and all those things actually get in your head, and that can be the way that we actually frame our world. Whereas, how should I have been thinking? And you know, God really took me back to His mercies are new every morning. And actually, we need to be thinking and declaring His mercies new every day, every situation, over whatever we come across. You see, having the ability and the environment to speak prophetically to our future is an incredible privilege. I think it's a key part of living the life God's called us to live. You see, as kingdom people, we're not meant to just live thinking that whatever happens will happen and it's fair enough. Oh yeah, it's all right. You know that que sera sort of thing, whatever will be, will be. Whereas, you know, you're actually created to be somebody who actually shapes the future. Not has the future happen to you. Yeah, of course, there's heaps of stuff beyond our control. There's heaps of stuff we can't change. But we get to frame the environment around us because of what we speak. The prophetic word. You try that in your own family. You know, if you get up every day and you have a defeatist mentality, you have a mindset, you're grumpy. Who got a bit grumpy over Christmas? Were you okay, Terrence? Did you ever get grumpy over Christmas? And we you know, sleep deprived and I was like that a bit too. You know, we'd been up, we had two nights of having to help Santa assemble some equipment, and we were sleep deprived. And that can actually frame the environment of your world. And you would actually have to laugh. My mum said to me yesterday, they came around for lunch, and I think she was sort of laughing on the inside, because I was sort of saying how it had been, and I was a shocker as a kid. I'm a shocker as an adult, I know, but I was a shocker as a kid. When Christmas was coming, I was just really wound up and you know, couldn't wait and not sleeping, and, you know, wouldn't go to sleep at night, and then was sort of awake again by 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And then I wondered why Mum and Dad were so grumpy on Christmas Day. Yes. But you know, sometimes we feel like that, and that's the atmosphere and the attitude to which we frame our world with. Living with an abundance mindset, living with an overcoming mindset, as Paul talks about in Romans, he says, we are more than conquerors. You know, we can't afford a dry environment. I think as kingdom people, there is something that is on us to actually have a different mindset and mentality as we go through this season. That there are more challenges than ever, but you know what? We can bring life to that. We can actually speak life to that as we go into this year that's ahead of us. We can't afford a dry environment. We don't want our children, our youth, having that to negotiate dry environments. There's enough challenges around us. So as kingdom people, we've got to frame an environment that brings hope and a future. How do we make sure our emerging generation isn't living out of a dry environment? We've got this berry farm in our backyard. We call it a berry farm. All it is sort of a cage that looks a bit like a bird aviary. And we've got strawberries and loganberries and raspberries growing in it. And they all sort of culminate around Christmas time, which is great. She actually had beautiful strawberries out of the garden yesterday. But a couple of times we've actually put all this effort into building it and making it work and getting everything right. And then right at a critical time, you know what, we've been away from home or got busy, and all of a sudden you don't water it as much as it needs. And that happened a few years ago, and it was particularly dry, and it was hot at a critical time, and particularly the raspberry plants. So what happened is there was still fruit on them when it came time, but there was just these tiny little minuscule raspberries, because in this critical part of their development, there wasn't enough water and their environment was dry, so there was sort of fruit there, but it was these tiny little raspberries that didn't sort of amount to very much. And I think sometimes we've got to understand, as we who actually get to speak and create an environment for our emerging generations, if it is full of the word of the Lord, if it is lush, if there is words like that spoken, well, that means a generation actually comes out of that, and they're going to bear fruit beyond anything that you've imagined. So how do we make sure that the emerging generation isn't living out of a dry generation? Listen to what it says in Acts, and I'll finish in a few minutes with this. In Acts 2, 17 to 18, it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons and your daughters also. Your young men." Listen to this. We've got people here who are parents and grandparents. Here's something to get excited about. "Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And when the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women, and they will prophesy." See, no one's going to argue who's been in the kingdom for a while and has an understanding that we live in the last days. We don't know whether we're talking hundreds of years, 50s, 10s, whatever. We don't know that. We don't know what it is. But Jesus was really clear that there was a time between when he poured out his mercy and a time when things are going to change. So he says, in the last days, in other words, in this time where we live under an open heaven, in the time following the day of Pentecost, he says, "I will pour out my spirit, and your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and when the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, both men and women, and they'll prophesy." You see, that's the time we live. Not just pastors, not just the church board, not just those in leadership, but your sons and your daughters. I want to encourage you, Jono, and as you just that the heart that you have for young people and what you've been sowing into our kids recently, both at a personal level and a church level. And I believe as you keep speaking the word of the Lord, as you keep speaking life over that generation, that you're actually going to see them, not just somewhere down the track and but you're actually going to see. You're going to see that generation prophesy. You're going to see them have visions. You're actually going to hear them talking about what a God future looks like. You're going to hear them talking about what he's doing in their life and what he's creating. And there's going to be something in you that will be encouraged and lifted up as you set an environment for those people that are around you, that it becomes lush and green. I just think there is something on you that's like a gardener that is making an environment where they are experiencing the Spirit of the Lord that is actually going to be on them, and they are going to be speaking a future that is actually going to change this community and also beyond amazing places. So just keep doing the gardening, and it's not like, oh wow, out there somewhere. You're actually going to start to see encouragement and inspiration in coming days and months and years that is going to inspire you so much. You know, that the people around you are going to be speaking. And then they're going to, I just hear that there are going to be kids that are going to be speaking the word of the Lord back to you. And that's even going to be part of defining your future for where you go in the next decade. So be encouraged. If we're going to see real and abundant living, if as kingdom people, we're going to take on a life that's not just a nice life, but it's a community transforming life, a generation changing life. You know what? We need that environment where sons and daughters can and will prophesy. I think one of the mistakes that we so often make is that we just sort of think we can keep being faithful and just keep doing the stuff and we're not actually always expecting the emerging generation to be the ones that are actually setting the vision for the future. I mean, yes, we're custodians of that, but I just, you know, God's been speaking to me about that, about that environment where they can be the ones setting vision for the future. You know, if we live in a dry, restrictive environment, I think it's so much harder to hear the voice of God. But if it's lush and we're actually lifting and moving those restrictions, it's amazing what people hear. Just like the verses in Ezekiel say, the Spirit of God is speaking to us. He has something to say to you about your future. What is it? What is it? And as I finish in the next few moments, what is it that God's speaking to you about 2022? What's He speaking to you about? What are you actually starting right now to declare about 2022? And I believe there are people here this morning and you've sort of been going through this year and you're walking around and you're thinking about the frustrations and you're thinking about restrictions, you're thinking about all the stuff, and it's a bit like you're walking around over the crunchy bones, the remains of a dry environment. And I believe that the Spirit of God is actually starting to stir up in us. What are we going to start to declare about 2022? You see, you'll read all sorts of things in the media. You'll hear all sorts of things, predictions about what it can be. Now, those things stand to naught to actually what God says about 2022. And what's He saying to you about your future? What is your part in that year? What sort of environment are you going to be creating in and around you and for the people who are in your world? You see, it's the prophetic word of the Lord that stands between the past and an abundant future. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Just make sure. Let's make sure as we start next year that we're not people without a dream. Let's make sure we're not people without a dream. Let's make sure we're not the people just sort of getting through another year, just sort of doing our best to make sure we just sort of get through that thing and make it happen. Are we dreaming or are we reminiscing? Dreams and memories. I don't do it so much now, but I love getting together with old mates. And we'd reminisce about our glory days and all the things that we've done. And my father-in-law, who could well be online with us this morning, He's done some incredible things. We were just talking last night, and we were talking about bushwalking and things, and he said, "Oh, I've never done the overland track, but he's crisscrossed it from every amazing angle, and we're the first person to take fold-up kayaks and actually sail basically the course of the overland track across all the lakes and the tarns and end up at Lake St Clair." And he's got this old mate that they meet once a week, and he says, "Oh, we talk about all the stories, and they've done so many things that they don't run out of stories." But he did say that they do get bigger and better and more exciting as the years go on. And there's this sort of sense of drama that goes on around them. And we can find ourselves reminiscing and creating this monument to something that was a past, or we can actually have a dream about the future. You know, I strongly believe when as older people still have a dream, we set an environment where our children and our youth and our young people and men and women will prophetically speak into their future. They will have a vision for their life, for their future, that makes a kingdom difference. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." Come on. A dream is about what is still invisible. A dream brings the visible to the visible. A dream gives us a glimpse of the future today. A dream gives permission and sets an environment. Come on, let's make sure that the dream, that the hope, that the vision, whatever you choose to call it, is actually boiling in us. And that's what we're speaking and framing as we go in to 2022. Let's make sure that we are people that are speaking and framing our environment as we go forward. Why don't we stand right now? And let me just pray into this, and we'll conclude in just a few moments. Father, we just come to you now, and we thank you so much that your mercies are new every morning. Jesus, we thank you that the reason you came was not just to be a monument to history, not just to set a time in history, but you actually came that we would have life, that we would experience real love, that we would have an abundant life, that we would be part of your plans and your future. We would be part of setting an environment that brings about change around us. So Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, just come and fill us now, inspire us and encourage us as we go into a new year. Just help us to be able to be thankful for your mercies, your faithfulness and your keeping over this past year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.